This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Or maybe there are things you can't see, and all those things are happening to bring a better ending. Someday, somehow, you'll see, you'll see. Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? 'Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Fries.
My show is about people in pursuit of passion and purpose. If you think about it, we can work our entire life and be financially stable or sad, but still feel as though our life is empty and lacking importance. I know you, as well as I, want to have our life matter. We want to make a difference, don't we? So today, we're going to talk to Melody Rossi. And Melody Rossi was a professional opera singer who performed with numerous opera companies throughout the United States during her career. She was also a frequent soloist at the Crystal Cathedral. What a beautiful place that is. And her voice was heard for nearly 20 years as the angel in The Glory of Christmas. In 1994, while undergoing fertility treatment, she suffered a serious surgical error that dramatically interrupted her career, nearly took her life, and resulted in her not being able to have children. It took a full year for her to recuperate, but during that time, she really came to know the Lord in a new way. In 1999, Melody founded Cloud and Fire Ministries as an outreach to at-risk youth. Today, Cloud and Fire serves over 400 young people every year, including at-risk youth, gang youth, and incarcerated youth. Cloud and Fire has 10 staff members and is making a tremendous difference in the lives of young people by equipping them for life and by leading them to Christ. So they are equipped for eternity. It's so good, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Sue. It's good to be here.
Tell us how you started Cloud and Fire Ministries.
Well, as you said, I had this very serious illness. It was really a life-changing experience. It stopped everything, stopped my career, stopped my plans for becoming a mother, and stopped life as I knew it. And during that time, I had to rebuild who I was. I wasn't sure if I would ever sing again. And by the time I was well enough to get out of bed, I actually had lost a lot of ground in my career. So I became a substitute teacher for LA Unified, and because I was a low man on the totem pole, they kept sending me to this war zone school, one of the bottom performing schools, bottom 2% in the country, and that was just right here in the San Fernando Valley. And as I was there, I saw kids that were going on drive-bys, kids that were involved in gangs, kids who were witnessing murders in their apartment buildings, kids whose parents were working 7 days a week, 15, 16 hours a day, and no one was there supervising them. Kids who had grown up in this country, although they were from immigrant parents, but couldn't even identify the alphabet in sixth or seventh grade. And It broke my heart. So I wanted to do something. So I started an after-school club so that they could come and hang out. And as a result, I had an opportunity to begin sharing the love of Christ with them, and that is how we started, and that's over 10 years ago now.
When I first met you, Melody, you said that your ministry was Cloud and Fire, and I always wondered, and I haven't had a chance to ask you yet, where did you get the name? How did the name come about?
Oh, that's a great question. When I was sick in bed, I began to sense God in a different way, because when you have nothing, that's when you really realize how much God carries us. There's nothing else. And everything that I had lived for was gone, it seemed. And so I started really turning to the Word of God and finding these lifelines that He would throw out to me. And by the end of that year, I felt like I was in a different place spiritually, and that no matter what God wanted, I would do it if He would just show me what it was. And I was sharing this with a girlfriend, and she said, you know, I don't think that's true. And I did not feel that this was a very supportive comment on her part. But she said, you know, that's not how God works. God doesn't tell us where we're going, because if He did, why would we need Him? And she reminded me about Moses and the Hebrews crossing the desert, and how they had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead them one day's journey at a time. And they had to just follow the leading of the Lord. And little by little, after they chose obedience rather than disobedience, little by little, they made it towards the promised land. And when they looked back, they could see the distance they'd traveled, but they hadn't been given a blueprint or a roadmap for where they were going. They had to trust God's leading. So after that conversation, I still didn't know where my life was headed, but I began waking up every day and saying, Lord, I don't know where we're going, but will You please keep me in Your perfect will today? And as I prayed that prayer, He began to shape my life in a way that really took me on a journey I wasn't expecting, that resulted in Cloud and Fire Ministries. I mean, it's pretty unlikely that an opera singer would end up in the hood ministering to at-risk youth, going into prisons and teaching gang members how to control their anger, bringing some of the worst kids with terrible records to the Lord. That could only be God's leading.
I loved it when I came and visited your operation, if we could even call it that, your ministry. It was so wonderful because you gave me the opportunity to actually meet some of your kids and to talk to them about the workforce and what I expect out of working for me. And they raised their hands and wanted to come work. And you allowed me to be totally honest and blunt and upfront with them about, you know, what it would take for them to be able to work for me. And it was just so wonderful because you just opened that door and allowed them to see, you know, the world from maybe another set of eyes. And it's just great. And you know what, Melody, it's just, you know, the kids is it's our future. And that's you're right. Changing the lives of children one at a time and maybe 10 at a time. But, you know, it takes people to step out of comfort zones, doesn't it, to make a difference. And, you know, it's amazing to see what happens. And I read obedience. Out of obedience comes blessing. Do you feel blessed?
That's right. I do. And, you know, my coming into a teaching position in this school that I described a moment ago had to do with God closing a door for me, closing a number of doors for me, actually. And I think sometimes, as you've talked about in the introduction to your show, sometimes the things that we seek don't really give us significance or meaning. And for me, that was the case. I was performing on all kinds of opera stages. I performed at the Kennedy Center. That was my last job before becoming ill. And to go from there to the hood was quite a switch for me.
I would bet.
Quite a switch. But, you know, I found that because of that, what seemed like a detour, I really found the pathway that God had always intended for me. My ability to have children was cut off, but God has allowed me to be a mother to many more children than I could have ever had. And what a blessing that is. So yes, I do feel very blessed.
So what are the main ways Cloud and Fire reaches young people?
We have a number of programs. We believe that evangelism, it can happen best when we gain trust from people.
Absolutely.
So we do things that provide a need, that fulfill a need that the youth in our community have. And that allows them to come in, and as we become friends with them, as they understand who we are, then they start to know who the Lord is. So we have a number of things. Like, for instance, we have a tutoring center after school every day for youth 7 to 18 years old, and we help them with homework. We have a computer lab for them with internet access. We have staff and volunteer tutors who help them with projects, and we have materials for them. We provide field trips and all kinds of extracurricular activities for them. So they just come because they want those things. That's one program. Then we have our program for incarcerated youth, and those youth often have to take anger management classes because the crimes they've committed have been very violent or aggressive. So we provide an anger management class for them right while they're incarcerated, and that really fills a need for them so that they don't have to take those classes when they're released. But I think one of our most exciting programs is our Youth Build program, and that's the program you saw, Sue. We are having a charter school at our site to help youth 17 to 24 who've dropped out of school finish high school and or earn their GEDs, and they learn construction at the same time. So they spend a week in school and a week in construction, and our construction site is Hope Gardens, which is owned by the Union Rescue Mission. So our students are putting their talents to work building housing and training centers for homeless women and children. And it's a really remarkable way that God is bringing these youth who have destroyed the community. Many of them have been arrested or spent time in jail, and now they're building up the community and helping needy people. And so that program provides them with a trade, it provides them with their OSHA certification, and it provides them with a chance to finish high school and get counseling. So we provide all of these things, and that's why kids come to us. And as we're serving them, we share Christ with them, and so many of them come to the Lord during that process.
That is amazing. Not only that, as you're teaching them to give, and to be a blessing to someone else, and to serve.
That's right.
And they have something that they can sink their heart into, and they believe in themselves, they feel better about themselves because they're doing something that's worthwhile, you know, and these kids, a lot of them don't have that in their home life, you know. It's like they're just trying to fend for themselves and trying to get through another day. It's horrible, actually, and it's very sad. It's very sad. It's so wonderful to have you on this show, Melody. I just I love what you're doing. I just love it. I have a heart for kids anyway, and it's just wonderful to see what you're doing.
Thanks.
So this is the Sue Free Show, KKLA 99.5, intersection of faith and reason. The guest today is Melody Rossi, and her ministry is Cloud and Fire. And we've been talking about her ministry. It's for at-risk children. You serve primarily unchurched youth. Why do you think they come to your program? Why do they come?
We have all of these programs that actually address a need for them. But the real reason that they come, Sue, is the reason that I think most of us relate to faith, relate to friendship. And that is that we see them, we love them, and we extend that to them. So many of these youth, and I think children, people in general, wherever they are, whatever their circumstances, we all are hungry for someone to just love us, to look in our eyes, recognize our potential, encourage us. And that's what we do. And a lot of these youth come from homes where they're loved, but where for whatever reasons, parents either don't do that, or maybe the students just don't understand the way that their parents are trying to do it. I'm not sure, but I think for many of us, when we were in school, there was someone outside of our family who reached out to us, a teacher, a person at church, a mentor, a neighborhood person, someone who just sat down and said, "How are you today? What's going on with you?" And that's why they come. And then, of course, because Christ is with us, and the Holy Spirit reaches out to them the minute that they walk into our center, they not only feel our love, but they feel and sense the love of God. It's like an oasis in the inner city. Our little center is like a second home to a lot of these young people, and that's why they come.
I think that maybe another way to say that, what came to mind was just having a place to belong.
That's
right. I mean, there's people that join clubs because they need a place where they feel like they're connected. That's and it. That they belong. I mean, you know, the Harley Club, you know, you buy a Harley Davidson, you know, you're part of this Harley Club, you know, I mean, there's just all these things. And it's just a sense where people want to feel like they belong. And a lot of these kids are kind of out there fending for themselves, and they just need a place where they feel they belong. And most healing happens when people feel that they can let their guard down, and that they feel accepted just where they are.
That's right.
And they need to feel forgiven and worthy. And the love is what breaks that barrier down and calms them down.
And you know what you said about the club is really important. And in fact, the first 5 years of our program, we had just one cohort of students who came through, and we stayed with them from junior high all the way through high school. And now most of those students are still with us as young adults, and most of them have gone to college. That's in a community with a 76% dropout rate.
That's amazing.
So those first 5 years, what we referred to when we talked about Cloud on Fire Ministries was club. We called it the club. Are
right.
you coming to club this week?
Right.
So I think
That's
you're
right.
spot on with that.
Yeah, yeah. That just came to mind. I wrote it down because it's like, you know, you need a sense of belonging. Everybody needs to belong to something. It's like with my show, I want, you know, a place to go, a place to be with you, a place to belong. You did not grow up in a Christian family, did you?
No, I did not.
So, a family reached out to you and brought you to the Lord? Can you share about that?
That's right. And I think that is part of why Cloud and Fire Ministries exists. When I was a little girl, I grew up in this very secular home with people, parents who were angry at God. My dad was in the bar business. He had mafia connections. God was never mentioned in our home unless it was in a curse word. Mm. And we had a very dysfunctional home. My mother and father really hated one another. But there was a family down the street, just on the opposite end of the block from us. And a little girl, my same age, was a classmate in school. And she invited me to Sunday school one day. And her family picked me up and took me to church. And I liked it, because it was a different atmosphere. It was a safe atmosphere. People noticed me. People spoke to me kindly, with love. And I loved it there. So my parents, fortunately, were fine with me going, and they let me go every week. And so my entire childhood, this family picked me up, took me to church. They took me on Sundays. They took me on Wednesday nights. They took me to choir practice. They took me to camp. They did all of those things. Because of them, I grew up learning scriptures, learning how to pray, learning the things of God, feeling what it's like to have the family of God wrap around you. So what a privilege it is for me to be able to provide that for other children, because I know what it meant to me, how it saved my life, and now I can do it for youth in this community.
Those of you that are listening, I'm going to challenge you right now. If you heard that and saw what a change has been made just by that mustard seed being planted, I'm challenging all of you to have your eyes and ears open. There might be a child right next door in your neighborhood that just needs a ride, needs an accepting arm, a little bit of love. If you sense that in your neighborhood, you know, I just challenge you to just ask if you can take them to church with you. I mean, how difficult is that? It's not that difficult. But look what it's done. Look what that gift, that effort, look what it's done for Melody and those kids that Melody is impacting. So there's your challenge. I'd like to hear more about that. So you can call in and let us know how that's going for you. Melody, I got a question for you. Why do kids get involved in gangs from your point of view?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons. And back to what you said about belonging, being in a gang is really a cry for community.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the students that I have met, or the young people I have met who are involved in gangs, and I've met some pretty hardcore gang members in our work with incarcerated youth, almost every single one of them has had some early trauma. And let me give you an example. For instance, there was a young, handsome, intelligent Cambodian teen that I met. And in other circumstances, he might have been class president or, you know, run for office somewhere. And when he was 12, his mother couldn't handle him. So she kicked him out, and he was living on the streets. Nobody nobody extended any help to him except the gangs. They took him in. They gave him a place to live so that he wasn't sleeping on the sidewalk. Mm. So he thought, okay, these are my friends. He didn't know what he was getting into, but at least he had food, shelter. He had someone who he could talk to. So he was 12 years old, and he started hanging out with the gang members. And one night they were in a car driving down the boulevard, and a rival gang of a different race came up alongside of them in a van. And they started hurling racial epithets at them. And pretty soon they took out AK-47s and started shooting.
Oh, no.
And this 12-year-old boy had his best friend shot, literally his brains blown out all over him.
Oh, boy.
And he had nowhere to go. His mother had let him go to the streets. So who is he going to hang out with? The gang members were his only solace, his only comfort. And so he then got more and more involved because of the hatred that was there. Or another boy I met when he was 5 years old. His father shot his mother in front of him.
Oh, my goodness.
And then turned the gun on him and said, if you tell anyone, I'll come and find you and kill you. So this little boy is traumatized. He lost both of his parents in one day because his father fled. And who else will listen to him? Who will take him in? Who will absorb his anger and his hatred? So gang members are often injured children who haven't found a healthy place to grieve or to process what's happened to them. And so the gang just foments that anger and that hatred and that revenge, and it builds on it. And then even if they decide they want to get out, they get absorbed into the economic system of the gang, which provides easy, I don't know if it's that easy, but easy money compared to the long way, which is going through school, going to college, entering a career. That's a lot harder to do, and it's not the same as instant gratification of selling drugs or getting involved in prostitution on the streets. So we have a whole system that is broken and is perpetuating some of these problems.
Can you tell me, are these two gentlemen in your ministry now? Can you give me a success story? I want to hear a success story. Tell me about a life of... give me some happy news here.
Let me tell you some great news.
Okay.
We started our Youth Build program in September. And out of that program, I have 7 students, all of whom were gang members when they entered. 7 students are being baptized next month.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that great?
That's fantastic.
And let me tell you a story that is amazing about a young man who came into that program, said that he was an atheist. And he has slowly but surely felt the love of God, seen the evidence of God's hand. And as a result of participating in our program, he receives a $10 a day stipend for showing up, because we know that that will motivate our students. And one day we had a missionary from Romania come and talk about her work with orphans, with infants who needed surgeries and had all of these deformities. And she shared what she was doing. And afterwards he came up to me and said, Miss Rossi, you told me that you and your husband give 10% of everything you have to God's work. Could you arrange it for 10% of my check to go to that orphanage?
Wow.
So he is not only a believer who's getting baptized, but he's a tither. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing. And those that are listening, you know, that's a challenge there, isn't it? That's amazing. Melody, I'm sure people that are listening, they want to know, you know, how can they contact you or how can they help?
Well, they can come to our website, which is cloudandfire.org, and they can certainly call us for more information. And our phone number is 818-920-0101, and we would love to hear from them. And if anybody is out of our area and they would like to donate, they can do that online, or we're always looking for volunteers to help in what God is doing in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay, that phone number again is 818-920-0101. You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show. This is Sue Freeze with Melody Rossi with Cloud and Fire here on KKLA 99.5, intersection of faith and reason, Saturday from 4 to 5. Keep listening. We have a lot more in store for you.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites. Every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is The Sue Freeze Show. Here's Sue Freeze.
I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference in this world. And I'm going to dare to believe, and I do that every day. Our lives are filled with lessons if we pay attention. Being connected to ourselves and others, always seeking to understand, is healthy. We are a summation of our life's experiences. How we respond to what's getting thrown our way is a choice, either consciously or unconsciously, by our belief system. What do you believe? Today, we have Mike Rovner with us. And I've known Mike for a while, and I've just watched him. I've watched him in action. I've watched him in his business, and I've watched him personally. And I am so excited to have him with me today because I just want to share him with you. Mike Rovner is a successful entrepreneur, businessman, anointed to teach Bible-based success strategies stemming from real-life experiences, exactly what we're talking about today. Mike is a firm believer in his faith, and his business practices are guided by his adherence to these beliefs. Mike is often a guest speaker sharing his experience in business based on these principles. Mike is driven by his passion to share God's message of prosperity with a purpose and marketplace ministry in order to make a difference in the lives of people around him and everyone he meets. Mike is the founder of Marketplace Ministries International and co-founder of Profiles for Success. So Mike, here we are together, and I'm so excited you're with me. I want you to explain what that means to you to be an entrepreneur, and you've been an entrepreneur since you were 13 years old.
Yeah, well, I think being an entrepreneur is kind of like someone that sees things differently, that kind of wants to take risks and chances, and mostly it's people that, you know, I would say that own their own business or in business for themselves, and they, you know, they just do things a little differently. But that's a really cool question you asked, and it's because if you read my bio, Sue, it says that Mike has been an entrepreneur from the age of 13. And what it was from the age of 13, I was a drug dealer.
Whoa.
Yeah, kind of crazy. And but I don't do that anymore.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's been, you know, it's been about 18 years. And what happened about when I was in my mid-20s, I met this woman. Well, let me back up a little bit. Really what happened was every male role model I had was a drug dealer, my parents and my uncles. So I kind of followed in that lifestyle. And what happened was when I was in my mid-20s, I met a woman who's now my wife. And I always tell people when, you know, I fell in love with her, and when you fall in love with a woman, you'll do just about anything. And so she kept on talking about getting her life right with God. So I told her, I said, hey, if you want to do that, I'll do it with you. And so one Sunday, this was May 31st, 1992, she took me to a local church in Simi Valley. And after the service, she dragged me up to the front, and there was a little woman there, and the woman said, repeat this prayer after me. And here was the prayer. God, come into our life and take the things out of our life that you want out, and put the things in that you want in Jesus' name. Kind of a very simple prayer, don't you think so, Sue?
Wow, it kind of reminds me of Psalm 139.
So a very exciting thing happened the very next day, June 1st, 1992, as my house got raided by the police.
Oh.
And so I was in jail that night, and I cried out to God. I was like, God, how could you do this to me? I just gave you my life. And really, it was the first time I ever heard or felt like God spoke to me and spoke to my heart. And this is what I really felt like God said was, I did this for you. I have a new plan for your life.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show. The guest today is Mike Rovner. Sue?
Wow, Mike, that's awesome. I just can't even believe that's exciting. I didn't know that part. I didn't know that about you.
You never knew that?
No, I didn't.
No, I thought I had shared that at some point with you. But so, you know, I basically my wife and I, we got married, and we started going to a church in Simi Valley. And so I didn't have the drug dealing business anymore. So I had just started a small drywall repair business, and this was in 1992. And basically, I was kind of like the unchurched. So whatever the pastor would teach, I would just believe. And I would take it and put it into practice into this little drywall business. And so it grew from having, doing $100 jobs to today doing jobs as much as $30 million.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about this Profiles for Success.
Well, Profiles for Success, basically what happened was, you know, I kind of was going along and just kind of doing my thing at church. And I really, you know, felt like, and most listeners will agree with me that, you know, when we're in business, you know, we know we're not called to be pastors, but we want to make a difference in the kingdom. And I remember just, you know, kind of going along one day, and I just really felt like God was saying to me, it's time for you to teach people to do what you're doing. And basically that was putting the Bible into practice in my business. So we started Profiles for Success about 5 years ago, and we do Bible-based success seminars, and then we're also teaching churches, or we're giving models for churches to start marketplace outreaches or workplace ministries inside of the local church. So that's pretty much, you know, what Profiles is doing, and we've had several events. We've seen hundreds of people get born again, and then we're also seeing people that, because what we do is we provide profiles for success, basically successful Christian business people that are in the marketplace and are successful but are also sold out for Christ. So people come and hear them speak, and they go, wow, if they're doing it, I could do it also.
Right. I mean, I'm in that boat, too. I totally can relate, you know, owning the termite company that I own. I have to deal with those things every day. They face me every day. And we have decisions, don't we, every minute of every day on how we're going to handle each situation that comes our way. And something you said, you know, that we're not pastors when we're dealing with our business, but we are ministers. And
yeah.
I minister every day. And
yeah.
I know you do, too. And when I first bought my company, I was heavily involved in the church. And I loved serving. I loved doing what I was doing in the church. But what happened is I had to step down from all of those responsibilities and all those things that I felt were so good for God. And what came to be was that my ministry became my business and my employees for my business. So now they are my ministry. And to watch God work in their lives, the other day I had one of my youngest employees run out because she was breaking up with her boyfriend. And she says, Sue, I just need you to pray for me because I just broke up with my boyfriend. And I put my arms around her and I was in such a hurry. I had to go, go, go. And I stopped everything and I put my arms around her and she collapsed in my arms. And it was just the most amazing, amazing feeling. And she asked me to pray for her, which, you know, people, just for them to do that, it lets me know that the seeds that we plant, the fruit does grow. And we just have to be bold enough in any situation to be able to do that. And in our marketplace, we have to be careful. We do. We can't push it on people. God doesn't push himself on us. But we just have to be ready when they're ready, don't we?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I 100% agree with you, because one of the things that we're trying to teach people through Profiles for Success is, say if you're the business owner, you are the spiritual leader of your business.
Yep.
I mean, that's one of the things I really felt like God showed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way we do it in today's day, a lot of people have heard the gospel. You know, they've heard about Jesus in the marketplace, but it's our job is to show them Jesus through practical ways, through our life. And so just how you were available for that young girl that, you know, came up to you and, you know, you were able to pray for her. I mean, we basically, I like this one quote. It said, the best sermon we could ever share is our life.
Exactly.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and her guest is Mike Rovner. Sue?
Mike, the purpose of our show is to educate others that God has given them spiritual gifts. And I love spiritual gifts. They're so wonderful because we all are given talents and gifts and we create our skills. What are the spiritual gifts and how have they helped you become who you are today?
You know, I'd have to say the number one spiritual gift that my wife and I have, I think, is that we have, as most business people have, is we have the gift of giving. And so just as a young Christian, I learned that, you know, it was my job to use my resources to further God's kingdom. And so just, you know, as a brand new Christian, I remember, you know, my pastor would teach us. He would be, when he was taking the offering, Sue, I'm going to share a quick story, is that he would be taking the offering and he'd say, don't give because I'm telling you to give. Ask the Holy Spirit and give what the Holy Spirit tells you. So I was a brand new Christian, just started my business. And so I remember praying, you know, God, how much should I give? And I really felt like the Lord put on my heart to give $60. And I reached in my pocket. It was incredible. I had $60. and my first thought was, how does God know how much money I have?
He wanted you to give it all.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is, I'm glad you say that, because every time I ever ask God how much to give, he always tells me to give it all.
Uh-huh.
But the cool thing is, God's not trying to get something from us. He's really trying to get something to us.
Yes.
So I reached my pocket and I gave the $60. And the craziest thing happened is that I got home that day and there was a message on my answer machine at the exact time that we take the offering in our church. And here's what the message said.
I can just
Mike,
guess.
We've decided to sign your contract for $6,000. I was like, wow, you know, this giving thing, it really works.
Yes. There's something biblical about that. What, isn't there a principle like that?
Yeah, of 100-fold.
Yep.
But you know, it's really the obedience thing, Sue, that really works.
Exactly.
And there's a scripture I really love. It's Isaiah 1:19. It's, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So I think Jan and I both, you know, from young Christians, just started to really want to honor God with our finances and really wanted to put the practice of sowing and reaping in our business, but not because, you know, we were trying to get something from God, just basically because we wanted to honor God with our finances, and it's just a practical way to show you love God. I think that has really been our number one spiritual gift, because when you have that kind of attitude in the marketplace, you're going to become like a blessing magnet.
On my emails, my closing little line, I don't know what you call that, the tagline or whatever you call that on the email, I said, make yourself a blessing to someone today. That's on my email. And I pray that every day. You know, God, please just show me how to be a blessing to someone today. And when we say, you know, God loves a cheerful giver, yes, he's talking about our finances because that's close to our heart, treasures of the heart. But also it's giving of our time, our energy. You know, me taking just a moment out when I had someplace I had to go, you know, it's like taking that moment and taking a breath and giving when you're called to give and what you're called to give.
Right.
So,
I agree.
Yeah, because I know it's not just finances, although we need finances to further the kingdom. You know, it does take money.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things that we can do. And there's a lot of people out there struggling, you know, maybe don't have jobs or whatnot. They might not have the money, and I don't want them to feel, you know, despairing here. I want them to just understand that it's not just money. It's anything you can do to help the kingdom or help a person next door, somebody needy. And you might be the needy person, and somebody else listening is the person that could help. So I just want to give you hope out there listening that, you know, God has a plan. And he'll work the plan. We just have to be obedient. And out of obedience comes blessing. Right, Mike?
I agree. And, you know, it's not, like you said, not just giving of our finances. If you own your own business, I try to give my time to my, you know, to my clients. I try to do a better job than they expect.
Right.
You know, with my employees, I try to give more than I'm supposed to give, or more than I promised to give.
Right.
You know, maybe a little extra time off. Or you know, one thing that we do is we always send them birthday cards on their birthday.
Yeah, that's very special.
We try to do whatever we possibly can to be a blessing to people. And I think one of the things is we've been taught in church, you know, to give our, our tithes and offerings. But giving is more than just what you do on Sunday. I mean, if you make it become a lifestyle for you, then you'll become like a blessing magnet where it'll come back to you.
You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show with Sue Freeze, and the guest today is business entrepreneur Mike Rovner. Sue?
Mike, we've been talking, and we've gone through a lot of things, and it's been really, really, really interesting. And I always try to bring things into the people that are listening. What would you recommend to others with your similar gifts to take advantage of them in the marketplace?
Well, I think it's, you have to recognize what your gift is. I mean, you know, the Bible says if you're gifted in this area, do this, do that, if you're gifted in that area. But one of the things that I've done with my company and is that I pray for the people that I work with, and I pray for the people I work for, and I'm not talking about like going and individually praying with them. Is that I keep like a logbook of all the people that work for our company. We have about 150 people that work for our company, and then my vendors and my associates and my clients.
And families.
And family. And yeah. And what I do is on a regular basis, I pray for those people. I really felt like the Lord showed me that that was one of the most important parts of my job. And one thing I just want to tell you, I first started doing it about 5 or 6 years ago. And I remember what I do is I'll come in on later at night or on Saturday when no one else is here, and I'll walk around my office and I'll pray in the offices of the people that work for us. And I remember I used to pray, you know, kind of these prayers like, you know, like, Lord, let them have wisdom and let them make good decisions. And I really felt like the Lord stopped me and said, do you think that's what's important to me? And, you know, and really what I figured out was if they don't, this is the way I pray for them now, is that if they don't know Jesus, I pray that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if they do know Jesus, I pray that they would know him better.
Mm.
And then I pray for their families and their marriages and their children. And, you know, it's pretty cool because when I see the kids, like at company picnics and stuff like that, it's really, you know, like my heart really goes out to them because I've been praying for their kids for years.
Right.
And so also one of the cool things is I pray for my clients. And I've seen many of my clients come to know Jesus. And I'll be going out to lunch with one of my clients. And once you've prayed for them and you go out to lunch with them, there's like a tremendous anointing on that. And I don't know what it is, but I'll just be at lunch with one of my clients and they'll just go, you know, I grew up in a religious family. I mean, they just, for some reason, they just really open up to me, and I'm not even, you know, saying anything to them. It's just something about when you've been praying for people, it just opens the door for everything.
Yeah. Was there ever a situation in your life that you realized that you didn't have the internal strength to complete an assignment, and your spiritual gifting allowed you to exceed your own expectations?
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, one of the biggest things is I always find myself in a position where I don't know what to do. I mean, you know that in business. I mean, everyone thinks like, you know, Sue Free, she knows, you know, like she just has something about her and she could just figure stuff out. And people say that same thing about me. But the truth is, I'm always finding myself in the position where I just don't know exactly what to do. And I think that one of my main spiritual giftings is I've really trained myself how to pray for my business and how to pray for the people I'm working with. And pray in situations. And, you know, I want to share some of the scriptures that I use when I don't know what to do. Here's one of them is James 1:5.
Wait a minute. Let everybody get a chance to get a pencil. Maybe
yeah,
they'll write these down.
Please get a pencil and write these down. I'll quote them.
I'm writing them down. Go ahead.
James 1:5, it's, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. One of my favorite scriptures.
That's a great one.
Jeremiah 33:3 is a great scripture. If you don't know what to do, it says, call to me and I will answer you.
Oh, love
and
it.
Tell you great and mighty things.
Ooh.
There's one translation that says unsearchable things, hidden things, fenced in things that you would not have known.
Hmm.
This one is not very commonly used, but in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel 3:10, it says, Samuel is crying out to the Lord and he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
Oh,
I love that scripture.
I like that too.
You know, and then there's Matthew 7:7. It's a great verse. Ask and you shall receive.
Oh, I love that one.
You know, seek and you shall find.
Knock and the door shall be opened. Exactly.
And then, of course, there's Hebrews 11:6. It's he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think how he rewards us is he shows us what to do.
Right. And it's his timing, though, isn't it? It doesn't always come right away.
No, it doesn't. But I think that when we pray, God tells us what to do. You know, like I've had challenges in my marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard. My wife owns her own business, and I own my own business, so we have challenges. I remember one day going for a walk and just praying, like, Lord, what should I do with my marriage? And let me just share with you, if you're a business owner or a leader, you know, and you lose your marriage, I mean, gosh, you're like a public success and a private failure.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember just one day going for a walk and praying, you know, God, you know, I want to do something. You know, I want change in my marriage. And I really felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you have to change. You know, I mean, sometimes we want our spouse to change, but really, typically, we have to change. You know, God deals with us what we have to do personally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that, you know, the Lord, one thing the Lord showed me was I was working Monday through Friday, and I was off Saturday and Sunday. And my wife worked Tuesday through Saturday. We had no time together.
Mm.
So I switched my time so that I started working the same days that she was working. So we had an extra day together. And that made a significant
difference.
Our marriage. So I think that lots of times we don't know what we need to do, but if we'll spend some extended time in prayer, God will show us what we need to do, not just in the marketplace, in our job, but also in our marriage.
Right. Well, listen, it's been wonderful talking with you. How can people get a hold of you and do it quickly? Because we've got to roll this up.
www.profilesforsuccess.org.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
And I always have a word that I end my show with. And the reword for today is recommit. And I want everyone to listen to recommit their businesses to the Lord and recommit your marriage to the Lord. Pay attention, focus, and dare to believe.
And here's a bulletin for you, an invitation to attend a business leader's breakfast titled Success to Significance, Making Your Business Count for More Than Profit. And it features Susan Fries, the president and CEO of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. So come and join other business leaders for fellowship, networking, and discovering how your business can thrive in a troubled economy. It happens on Wednesday, April 28th, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. at the Sunset Hills Country Club, and that's in Thousand Oaks. The cost is $20. You get breakfast included. To reserve your seat, call 805-583-3598. That number again, 805-583-3598. If you're looking for a website and you want to find out more on the website, just log on to cpcglobal1.org. Again, that's cpcglobal1.org. This is presented by the Community Pregnancy Clinic of Simi Valley, Moore Park, and the Caneo Valley Women's Resource Center. Once again, that's happening on Wednesday, April 28th, 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. in Thousand Oaks. And last, the phone number to call, 805-583-3598.
Thanks so much for visiting us today. This is the Sue Fries Show. This is Sue Fries, KKLA 99.5, intersection of faith and reason. Until next time, bye-bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Fries Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, springtime. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola,
powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.